Morning.
Take your Bibles and let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I'd like to close out this chapter in verses 26 and through 29. Now, as we look at these verses, I want you to remember that there's two truths that are undergirding, strengthening the whole of what our Lord is declaring to us. And these two truths are of great value and importance to us anytime we go to the Word of God to read it for ourselves, or we come to hear the gospel, to hear the Word of Christ preached, or any time that you are speaking and declaring your hope in Christ to another sinner. There's two truths, and these are, first, the justifying righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, his people. The justifying righteousness of Christ. And the other is the regenerating grace of the Spirit. These truths undergird the whole of our hope that Christ is our righteousness, that he has justified us, and he has given us his Holy Spirit that has given us a new birth by the grace of God, not according to our works, but according to the grace and mercy of our God given to us, shown to us for the sake of Christ, who gave his life for us. And so these two truths, Christ's justifying righteousness and the regeneration of grace by the Spirit, these make up the good news, the good word, the reason why we hope in our God. This is our ministry. This is the word which we preach to sinners. This is why we declare this good news to sinners. And these blessings have been obtained for us by Christ, given to us in Christ, and these blessings are for every child of God. Every child of God comes into the family of God being justified by the righteousness of Christ. We don't enter with our own righteousness. And every child of God enters the family of God by the regenerating grace of the Spirit given. That is, whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we're slave or free, bond or free, or male and or female, we all come one way. I've titled this, All the Children of God, which is taken from the 26th verse of our text, All the Children of God. Now, when reading this passage, I was reminded, and thinking of these two undergirding truths, I was reminded of the benefit I had as a child growing up in that I was the youngest of three. I had an older brother and an older sister. There were some drawbacks to being the youngest, but to this point, there was a benefit because of the fact they were so much older than me by a good 7 to 8.5 years. I could benefit from seeing them make the mistakes that all children make. And I could hear the conversations of my parents with them and the discipline that they received. I was benefited by that. Now, of course, I had to learn those same lessons. I had to go and experience those same things, but the benefit being that I could recall with a light bulb going on, thinking, oh, now I better understand. Now I see why my parents said to them what they said. And I could reflect on that perspective when they themselves went through it. Well, that's sort of like the benefit that we have here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. He's writing to a church made up largely of Gentile believers, and he's addressing them because they've become entangled in the law. They've become entangled in fleshly things and taken their eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and look to things that cannot save or cleanse us from our sins. And it became a stumbling block to them. And so we need to learn these things, and we do. We that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to an experiential knowledge of these things. We go through these very same things, looking to, hearing some new thing, and being charmed by some new thing, but they're things that cannot save, and they're things that take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord gives us his word, and as we learn it, we reflect on his word, and we see the truth of that word being revealed to us. And the Lord helps us and teaches us so that we see, Lord, now I understand why you're saying these things. Now I'm comforted and I understand what you're teaching all your people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what our Lord is showing us repeatedly as we grow and walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is that this is a spiritual work. Salvation is not a thing of the flesh, in a combination of fleshly works or fleshly deeds that we do, but it's a spiritual work of grace, where the Lord in fellowship with his people teaches us, brings us out of darkness, shows us the wealth and the benefit and the riches of Christ, whom we follow and trust and walk by faith in him. And we see, we reflect back on our times of folly when we've done things in the flesh or done things thinking that it was an act or a deed that we did for God, and we see the glory of our Savior and the glory of our salvation, who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we glory and rejoice in the God of our salvation. And so Paul sums up this grace, saying in verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so we are brought to see that every blessing that we have is for every believer. And that's without exception. And I'm speaking of those two undergirding truths, that Christ is our justifying righteousness, that we've all been regenerated, born again by the seed of Christ, according to his Spirit, which he's given unto us in grace. And this is true whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. This is true whether you are rich or poor, whether you're uneducated or educated, whether you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter. We all come through the blood. We are all justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all brought into the family of God by divine adoption. None of us has a leg up on the other one. We all are brought in to the family of God by divine adoption. Look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Paul says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And so this adoption that we have into the family of God is revealed to us by faith. God reveals this hope in us by faith, so that we are made to understand that this fellowship that we now have with God, wherein we are made partakers of the eternal inheritance of the saints of God, it's entirely by grace. It's all of grace, and it's not because of anything that we are in this flesh. It's not because we're a physical Jew or a physical Gentile. It doesn't add anything or take anything away. It's not because we come from a particular class of society, whether we're rich or poor, whether we are a bond slave or we're a free man. It doesn't matter what our gender is. Whether we are male or female, that's of no consequence in the family of God. And so the spirit of adoption bears witness to us, not because of anything in this flesh, but he bears witness to us that we are the children of God by manifesting faith in us. Ye all are children of God, the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, faith. When God gives us faith, that faith doesn't remain alone. It doesn't. It's not the whole or the end of our experience in the Lord. Faith doesn't remain alone, but there's an obedience of our faith. There's an obedience to the manifestation of grace in us whereby we follow the Lord. You know, Peter writes of this in 2 Peter chapter 1 when he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, love. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what Paul speaks of here in our text, after he says you're all the children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares that we go on, we obey and are baptized. We are baptized, believing on the Lord. He says in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so first comes faith, then comes baptism, a public profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I used to wonder, why does the Lord give us baptism? I wondered, why does the Lord give us baptism? We see how that we're not saved with fleshly things. We see how this is a spiritual salvation of grace. And we rejoice in that our God saves us apart from any works. So why does the Lord give us something that we do in the flesh in such a manner? Why did the Lord give us baptism? Why do we have this ordinance? Well, it not only brings a public awareness that we are the Lord's and that we believe in him and trust him, that we have faith revealed in us. It not only is a public declaration of the hope that we have in Christ, but it testifies to the grace that we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks to the fact that we are all one body. None of us gets a pass. None of us jumps ahead and says, well, I don't need that. You needed that, but I don't need this baptism. I'm a Jew. You're a Gentile. Yeah, you should be baptized. No, Jew or Gentile is baptized. Male or female, all are baptized. Rich or poor, doesn't matter. All are baptized. All are one, and they're all baptized into Christ. And we see here that the graces that we've received in Christ, this baptism is an outward testimony of what the Lord has done in our hearts and the hope that he's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an outward profession of an inward manifestation, what the Spirit's done in our hearts for us in the new man. We believe Christ by faith, and we want to be baptized in obedience to our Lord. You know that Christ himself was baptized, and none of us would dare think that we're better or different than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so faith is wrought in our hearts, and we say, Lord, you've been baptized, and you say to be baptized, Lord, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. And so we believe him and we are baptized as he is baptized. Now, on one hand, our baptism pictures our death, the death of this flesh and the life that we now have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's turn over to Romans 6. I'm going to speak first on some things that we know. I know you know these things. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. It's good for us to see them and to be reminded, especially we that have been baptized, as we remember what our Lord has done for us and why we've been baptized. in the Lord. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" Right? So there is a work of grace done in the heart. This is speaking of the children of God here. There's a work of grace done in us. And he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And so, our God, what he does is he performs the operation of grace in his people. We're not saved by outward things. We're not saved by something we do in the flesh. This is just a reflection of the operation of God that he works in each and every one of his children. And so our baptism is a picture described here. It's a picture that we have been crucified with Christ. We died with him. When he went to the cross, I was in him. He carried me in his bosom. And when he died, I died. When he was justified in the Spirit and raising him from the dead, I was justified by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. And so we're dead with Christ and we're in Christ and our life is hid with Christ in God. And we do now count ourselves dead to the lusts of the flesh, not wanting to go on living according to the dictates and desires of the flesh. There's a war that rages in us. I can tell you there's a war. There's desires and lusts and all kinds of things in this flesh. But in the new man, which believes Christ and loves him, I don't want to walk in that sin. I don't want to do those things. I want to know my Lord and continue in that sweet fellowship. I don't want to bring fear and doubts and worries upon me in doing those things. Peter describes them as warring against the soul, and they do. They make war against the soul and fill our minds with and hearts with doubt and fears and worry. And so we live, brethren, in faith, believe in Christ. We walk by faith in him. Now let's finish Romans 6, verse 5 and 6. And then that'll be it for this passage. He says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." That power and control that was over us, that sin had over us, and that death, that's all we knew in the flesh. That we were just moved about with various passions of the flesh. But that's been broken and canceled so that now we see Christ and we believe Christ and we trust him and we follow him and we cry out to him, "Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. Lord, help me to walk in you by faith, in obedience to you. I don't want to live according to the flesh and the dictates of the flesh. You've delivered me from that. I don't want to continue in that, Lord. I want to serve you and I want to love my brethren and serve them as well." Now, I realize that we're all familiar with these truths. We know these things. We've read these truths in the Bible. We understand it's not a washing away of the sins of the flesh by being baptized. Christ did that. We understand those things. We understand it's a symbol, a picture of that. But the child of God, when they're baptized, we're baptized in hope, according to these undergirding truths, that Christ is my righteousness, that I'm justified by him, that I've been regenerated by the Spirit of God who reveals faith in me and put my hope, my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that in him I am saved, in him I am forgiven of all my sins. And God has brought me into his family and made me his own, revealing these truths to me. And he says, verse 27 again, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so the physical act of baptism does not save the people of God. It doesn't wash away the sins of the people of God. Baptism doesn't do that. Christ did that. Christ is the one who washes away the sins of his people. Now, some are baptized for a religious act, meaning some are baptized because they do think that it is a means whereby God will say, "Well done, here's a little grace for you. Here's a little extra something special to help you in the day of judgment in earning my favor." Some people think it gives them grace, and that's a lie. That's not true. That's having confidence in the flesh and the works of the flesh. We're not bettered by our baptism. We are only bettered. We are only helped. We are only saved by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so the children of God are baptized, believing. This is our hope. And that doesn't mean that every single one of these is going through your mind as you're being baptized. But what you're professing, what you're declaring, "My hope is that Christ has cleansed my soul from death. Christ has put away my sin. In him I am washed clean by the blood of my Savior. He's purged me of my sins, and he's delivered me from the punishment that I deserve for my transgressions and my trespasses and my sins and iniquities against the living God. We are confessing that Christ has justified me by his righteousness, and that I am delivered once and for all from the wrath of God. And that second death hath no more power over me. I believe that I have been raised again by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in that day of judgment, my name shall be found written in the Lamb's book of life, that I will not be judged according to those works in the books, but according to Christ, according to my Savior." And he's revealed this hope in us by the regenerating grace of his Holy Spirit. Those truths undergird us and support us and hold us up. I'm justified by Christ. I'm regenerated by his grace through the Spirit which he's given to me according to his own love and mercy for Christ's sake, which is shown to me. Why, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so that's why we're baptized. All his people are baptized believing Christ did this for me, an undeserving, filthy, wretched sinner. And so you that believe in him, if you haven't been baptized, come, be baptized, trusting your Lord who did this work for you. Not because this saves you, that's not your confidence and your hope, but because your confidence is, and your hope is that Christ has saved you, his people. And so the apostle says, such have put on Christ. They've put on Christ. The picture is that I come laying aside the confidences of this flesh, self-righteous confidences, the old man, these filthy rag righteousness that I once trusted in. I lay it aside and am washed by Christ, and come up in the garment, clothed in the garment of Christ's righteousness alone. That's what it means there. That's the picture that's given to us. This righteousness is the wedding garment whereby we will enter into heaven by the righteousness of Christ, and we'll take our place seated at that table, made partakers of that great feast in Christ. And without such righteousness, no man, no woman, no one, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, none shall be able to take their place at that seat without the righteous garment of Christ. And that's why our Lord gave us that parable when he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, seeing as you have no wedding garment?" And he was speechless, so that he was unable to say anything that could deliver him from the wrath of God. We have one hope, one confession, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our deliverance from the wrath of God. He's our deliverance from sin. He's our deliverance from our enemies. And so we do walk in Christ, not according to the dictates of a corrupt nature, but of a new man created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we live upon the hope of his grace. That's our hope. Romans 13:14 is a like passage, and it says, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so by the work of grace for us in Christ, his justifying righteousness, the regenerating grace of the Spirit, we walk in that new man formed in us. And we're given a picture of this in the Old Testament. You know, the priests, when they would come to minister to the people, what did they have to do? They took off their street clothes and they dipped themselves in the pool. They were baptized in the pool and washed themselves and then put on those priestly garments whereby they minister to the people. And that's what it is to put on Christ. We lay aside the hope that we had in this flesh and we trust in Christ alone. We're washing him. And that the baptism is just a picture of what Christ has done for us. And so this brings us to what we all have in Christ. This baptism is for all believers, regardless of what we are in the flesh. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, under the Old Testament, only men could be priests. But now, you're all priests of the living God. Only males were circumcised. But now, male and female are baptized in Christ. Only Jews could enter the temple. And now, we all are the temple of our God. And Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And look at Ephesians 2. We see how Christ put this away. Ephesians 2, verse 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace. So that there's nothing now that separates believers in Christ. We're all one. We all come through the same way, through that blood. And there's nothing different about any of us. None of us is excused from believing the Lord and trusting him and being clothed in his righteousness and regenerated by his Spirit. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so all our Christs all came that one way through the redeeming blood of Christ. And he says, verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are all Christ's, not by some work that we've done for ourselves to earn this. We're Christ's because he justified us by his righteousness. And he's given us his Spirit to regenerate us according to the grace of God shown to us richly and abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's made known our adoption in this family of God by grace and made us heirs according to promise. And so I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts and encourage you and comfort you in Christ. Amen.